Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Is the phrase for one of our video.freetalklive listeners out there, video.freetalklive.com listeners out there, who is talking about World of Warcraft recently, accused me of playing on the Alliance. I don't think I've ever been so offended in my life. Now, to be fair, for those who don't know, it's really not worth explaining. There's two factions in World of Warcraft. There's the Alliance, which is like the humans, the good guys, and the Horde, which are like the monster races, the bad guys, and they're the cool ones, so obviously.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But when I first began playing, I did, in fact, play on the Alliance for a very brief period because my friend at the time, the one who introduced me to the game, played on the Alliance. And you pick the side that your friend is on when you join a new game. It did not take long for me to go, man, these guys are boring and dull and no thank you. I'm going to go play with the Orcs and the Tauren and all of the other monster races. And it was a lot of fun back then. I don't regret the time that I spent with World of Warcraft, but I do regret all of the knowledge I gained about these systems and the way that they worked that is no use to me whatsoever.
Yeah, your head's
right
just
now.
Full with
right.
it. Yeah.
Like
I played World of Warcraft, but I was not good, and I didn't play it for very long.
Now, it's like Civilization V, I got really, really good at, which is just another video game, and I got really, really good at it, and I learned all of the intricacies of the system because I enjoyed it, but it didn't benefit me at all. I didn't expect it to. Yeah. But some of the things that I learned about Civilization had some real world use to some degree. I may never need to know how to, you know, balance a kingdom's budget or whatever, but that skill, it does translate to some degree to the real world. But knowing the soft haste cap of an affliction warlock at level 80 going into ICC is not useful information, and it will never be useful information. Anyway, let's keep going to the phones. We have Scott on the line from Tennessee. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I want to start out by saying I'm definitely not a hater. I actually listen to your show quite often. But I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. And the first question I have is, and this is not a gotcha question by no means, okay?
Sure.
But could you tell me what either one of you know about the law? Because I've heard it in the media, in the mainstream media, quite a bunch. Let's put it this way. Could you tell me what you know about the law that Tennessee just banned? Or what's the Tennessee law on drag shows?
I don't have any idea.
I don't either.
I don't think we've made any mention of that particular
law. No, you haven't. I just heard earlier you were talking about a drag show or something like that. I've heard on every major network that Tennessee banned drag shows, and it's almost like a snippet of what the actual law says, and it's completely not true. So I'll be the first to tell you, I love a good drag show. Every time I go to Key West, I at least hit one or two drag shows.
They are fun.
Yeah,
I've never been to one. Are they?
They are so much fun. Oh my gosh, you should go. They're fun.
So much fun. You have got to go to a drag show. It's fun.
I mean, they have them here in Keene fairly often, and I was doing an interview with someone who was doing a Bitcoin story here when I was walking through the streets of Keene, and we just happened to be walking in the direction of the drag show. And I got to tell you, it felt kind of weird being a trans person walking past a drag show because everyone, like, was waiting on me to, like, stop and get in the line or whatever, and I just, you know, kept walking because I wasn't there for the drag show. It was super weird.
You're like, no, that's not me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But though, drag shows are actually really, really fun. What you've heard on the mainstream media is, when I hate to say mainstream, let's just say the three major networks, is that Tennessee banned drag shows, and that is not true. Anybody that's hearing my voice here, not true.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, it would be very, very difficult to ban something like that that was being done by adults, right? It would
right.
be like banning
exactly.
a racetrack or banning bars or something. I mean, governments probably
right.
have tried to do things like that at some point during the 20th century, but they're going to meet too much resistance trying to ban
exactly.
an event that is adults.
Yes. What they did was, and you know, I don't know if y'all ever heard the old saying, you know, one bad apple ruins a bunch.
Yeah.
What happened was last year in a particular city during Pride Week, there was a drag show that took place in front of a bunch of small kids.
Wasn't it a family-friendly drag show?
Well, that's the state's response to it. What is family-friendly drag show, okay? Because
like Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. Mrs. Doubtfire was Robin Williams in drag in a family-friendly movie.
Right. And let me tell you something. Birdcage, one of my favorite shows.
I've never seen Birdcage.
I've got it on, I guarantee you I watch it at least 20 times a year. But what the state's saying is they lumped it in to basically saying this is adult entertainment. And
well, see, that's the problem, because that's not necessarily true, right? It's not necessarily adult entertainment. That's like saying that Mrs. Doubtfire is adult entertainment, right?
Yeah, I respectfully disagree with you on that, because, like, even the day before yesterday, I don't know what state it was in, there was a drag show in a school. And I don't know if y'all seen it or not, but one of the drag queens straddled a 14-year-old.
I mean, that, I would say, is totally inappropriate.
And it probably didn't happen at a school. I mean, did you see this on Lips of TikTok?
It actually did. Yeah, you can pull it up.
On Lips of TikTok?
Because
what a lot of these places will do, they will take a video or something, and they'll take it completely out of context, or they'll even lie about the participants. Like, I recently wrote an article about a, quote, child drag show that I saw that someone tagged me in a video on, on exactly Libs of TikTok. And, you know, it seemed like this drag queen that was 13 years old, they said, dancing somewhat provocatively, wearing somewhat revealing clothes, and, you know, I made an article
people
about how it wasn't.
Don't.
Yeah, I get it. And I wrote an article about how it wasn't really even that bad, and they were just blowing this out of proportion. And then I learned that the kid wasn't even drag. It was just a girl doing a show.
Oh, my gosh,
right,
really?
That has not stopped the libs of TikTok from talking about, look at this child drag show happening right here, and from people being outraged about
this. This was not
a child
drag show. This was like a 35-year-old man.
I understand that. But that doesn't mean it was actually a child who was watching it, and it certainly doesn't mean it happened at a school.
No, the child was there. The child was being straddled by the drag queen.
Right, but you don't know this person's age. You're trusting the internet to tell you this person's age, and you're trusting them to tell you their location.
I'm smart enough to know that the kid couldn't have been over 14. Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with being intelligent or unintelligent, right? Like, these people, literally, plus we were talking about AI deepfakes earlier, these things are certainly going to exist more and more. If you want to create a video of a drag queen throwing her booty in a 12-year-old's face, you can use artificial intelligence to do that. I doubt that's what this was, to be fair. I don't think people are doing that. They will at some point, but they're not doing that yet. But all of this stuff is very easy to manipulate. It's very easy to take a clip, a 12-second clip of something, and present it in a way that is completely misleading.
Well, and so let's just give this point the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this really did happen. Maybe a drag queen did straddle a 14-year-old. Then what?
My point being is, I think, and this is just my opinion only, I think that, I remember when I was 14, I think that's a little bit of a young age to be introducing kids to this type of entertainment.
I lost my virginity at 14.
Yeah, I did too. I also want to state that when I was maybe 5 years old, my uncle and his husband my uncle's husband does drag, and because of that, they hang out with a bunch of drag queens. So I was at some family party, and there were a ton of drag queens there, and I was dancing with them, and you could call it not really a drag show, but they were in drag and I was dancing with them at probably 5 years old. And none of my family members, even my father, who's not conservative, but I would say he's pretty like kind of like Puritan beliefs. He thought it was weird, but he didn't think it was inappropriate. So yeah, I just don't know if, and I totally have been to drag shows when I was 13, 14 years old, like actual kind of sexual drag shows. And well, I just and don't think what, it like scarred me for life.
Well, that's what the state of Tennessee is saying, basically. They're not banning drag shows. They're just saying they're lumping it into basically at the same category as a, and I'm just being honest, basically the same category as a strip bar. And they're saying that you've got to be 18 or older to be able to go and watch one.
Yeah, that should be up to the parents.
That's what I think, too. I'm not entirely surprised.
Nutty parents. Both
yeah, but it doesn't. Oh, but it doesn't take a village, right? I mean, it's not my not my call.
Yeah,
right?
Not my kid, not my problem. But I also, and I'm not entirely surprised because some drag shows are very sexual, and some of them are almost equal to strip club levels.
Yeah, but some movies are sexual as well, but absolutely. That doesn't mean you have to ban children from movie theaters.
I also want to say I don't think there should be 18-year-old age limits.
The rating system as well.
So
have a rating system for... Well, the rating system is completely voluntary, and there's no law keeping 17-year-olds or keeping 13-year-olds from watching R-rated movies. That's just the policy of the movie theaters. And
Not in our state. If you're going
yeah,
to
the rating system is a completely free market solution, and video games are the same thing with the ESRB. It's not governmental at all.
Yes, but in our state, if you have a child that's under the age of 18, they want to go see an R-rated movie by themselves, then they have to show ID.
I think that might be the case.
Of the movie theater.
Well, and that's the thing, too. So what I was going to say is I don't think that
it's not important.
Strip clubs should have an 18-year-old age limit.
Fair point.
You know, but I do think it should be up to the establishment. You know, if they're like, no, you have to be 21 because we serve alcohol and we don't want to have to deal with, we just want to card you at the door, that's up to the establishment. I do not think it should be a state law.
A friend of mine said this yesterday, and I haven't really had time to think about this properly, so I'm just going to echo it. And remember, I haven't given this the full amount of thought that it's worth, but I think it seems like there's probably a lot to it. Now that you mention it, I only see male to female drag in dispute. Does nobody care about female-to-male drag, like drag kings? Maybe the real objection is the emasculation of little boys rather than the sexualization of them. The sexualization follows from the emasculation because we expect girls to be sexualized. And it terrifies them to think that their little boys are going to be sexualized in the same way that they sexualize girls. So maybe the real problem here is that we as a society have such a bad habit of sexualizing girls that a boy presenting himself as female in any capacity just absolutely rubs people the wrong way because they know how they treat women.
You know what? I don't disagree with you on that. Actually, I'm going to agree with you.
I think he makes a really good point that I'm going to need to spend some time thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a special coming on about Brooke Shields. I mean, Lord, she was, what, 10 years old when they were throwing her in front of the cameras? I agree with you completely that women and girls and little girls have been sexualized for decades, hundreds of years. I agree with you.
I mean, yeah, look at pageants.
And if all of this is the case, then the reason that drag queens should be adult only is because these people are worried that their boys will get sexualized in the same way or that they will learn that it's okay for boys to be sexualized in the same way that it's okay for girls to be sexualized.
Yeah. And I also wanted to hit on one other point. I know this is you're not going to agree with me, so I'm just...
That's fine.
But I love and enjoy... that we can get together and we can talk about this. I don't personally agree with the transgender movement, okay? That's just me, okay?
Sure. With what things do you disagree about it, though? I'm just curious. I mean, because I don't know that there's necessarily a transgender movement.
I think there is always, well, first of all, I'll say this. What's the difference between me as a Caucasian, and over a period of, say, 3 months, I think about things, and I've come to the conclusion, okay, that I am and I identify as an African American. And I want to mark that on my job applications. I want to apply for schools that way because I identify as that.
Sure.
What's the difference?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't necessarily say that there is a difference, except one is more so culturally acceptable than the other. I would argue that race, just like gender, is a completely fabricated human construct, and that if you took all 7 billion or 8 billion human beings and you arranged them from darkest to lightest, you wouldn't be able to point at any one of them and say, oh, this is where the African Americans stop, or this is where the black people start, and this is where the white people stop. I think that it's an infinite gradient, and someone falls somewhere along this spectrum, and that it's probably true to some extent that they do have some percentage of black genes or white genes or whatever kind of genes, and I don't think it's particularly important where people want to draw this arbitrary line and say the people on the left are black and the people on the right are white. So I don't have any dispute with this in and of itself from a philosophical standpoint of it's wrong to identify as being black, because I'm not going to define what black is. I've seen pictures of black people who are black, like literally from Africa or with black ancestry or whatever, and their skin is whiter than mine.
Yeah.
These people exist. Mm-hmm. So skin color is very clearly not a good metric to use in determining someone's race, and race is a social construct in the same way that gender is. So in and of itself, I don't have any particular issue with that.
So I had a conversation with a woman once who her issue with not even just, I guess, yeah, with transgenderism was she the way she presented it to me was sex versus gender, right? So she didn't really believe in gender as a construct because she believed that we put too much weight on gender stereotypes. So she's like, I don't care if someone has male body parts and they dress however they want. It's because of the weight that we put on those stereotypes. So she's like, she just didn't like the labels of it. So to me, it kind of feels similarly. I don't really care if someone calls himself a woman or a man. Like, I don't care what labels somebody wants to put on themselves. But I did kind of understand where she was coming from in the gender versus sex thing. But she kind of lost me where she was highly offended by people being trans and calling themselves women when they weren't women. They kind of lost me on that part, but I do believe that we put a little too much weight on race and gender stereotypes and all of these things when we're all just people and it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. I agree with you completely because, I mean, we all bleed red. I get it. I agree with you completely, and I think we're probably more in agreement than we are disagreements because I have one more question, and I'll let you go, because I'm sure you have other calls.
Well, to clarify, but we certainly weren't saying you were a bigot by any means. We certainly didn't mean to suggest that we were.
Okay. I know that.
I would also add that I agree with the gender idea. Like, I wear skirts, and I have long hair, right? But that's just a completely arbitrary choice, and women tend to do those things, but that's a gender stereotype, is having long hair and wearing dresses. Most women don't even wear dresses these days. But having long hair.
You know, and just by talking to you, I promise you, you'd be the type of person I want to sit down and have a beer with and chill out. You know, I guarantee you that. Just because I think that's what's wrong with us as a nation today, is we can't get together and agree to disagree, okay? But we can all still be friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
I'm friends with plenty of people I disagree. I'm friends with, like, just about everyone I work with is like a hardcore leftist. I don't agree with them about anything. So we just don't, and they know that. So we just don't talk about those things. If we were going to talk about something, it would be something that we know we agree on or that we're likely to agree on because we don't want to fight with one another because we're friends. And I think people have lost the ability to do that. People unfriend people they disagree with. I'm like, no, I remain friends with people I disagree with. I know plenty of libertarians who are like, I could never date someone who wasn't a libertarian. I was like, I couldn't date someone based on their political beliefs.
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
Honestly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I will keep listening to y'all's show because that's the reason I am a conservative Republican, okay? But I like to listen to other people's point of view, and I like to listen and talk to other people. And This has been a good conversation. I really appreciate y'all taking my phone call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime, Scott, we are here, 603-283-6160. I appreciate the call as well, because it's rare that we talk to someone who has these questions and asks them in a fair way. Like, usually, you mentioned that you weren't asking us a gotcha question at the beginning, and usually whenever someone asks us a question about gender or transgenderism or whatever category they want to, they do want to ask it in a gotcha kind of way. They don't want to have a conversation. They want to win an argument.
Yeah. No, that was a great call. I really enjoyed that.
It was. Thank you so much for the call, Scott. We do appreciate it. Well, speaking of great calls, this is unlikely to fit the bill, but we do have Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, yeah, so I'm supposed to be a great call, right? So, anyways, I just want to bring up that there was a drag, you can really like the drag racer that flipped over a school bus.
And yeah, you told us about this a few months ago.
Well, they want to sue the bus driver.
Yeah, you told us about this a few months ago. Is that what you got?
Well, yeah, but you know
what? This isn't new. We've talked about this already. It was a stupid and dull conversation then. I don't want to have it again.
What? Why is it a dull conversation when they left out suing the city? They left out.
I don't remember now. And we had this conversation with you like 4.5 months ago. I'm literally not going to have it again. Sarah, you're rehashing old stories. I appreciate the call tonight, and I appreciate that you didn't want to talk about traffic lights, but I do know for a fact we have talked about this exact thing before here on the show, and that you called to bring it up, and that Ian and I watched the video because you brought it up, and I seem to recall it was pretty terrifying, horrifying video, and whatever issue you had with it then about drag racers or whatever was something that we discussed and we went over, and we explained to you then how a new law or a new traffic camera wasn't going to stop this, but I guarantee you that that wasn't going to stop you from saying in the next 20 seconds that what we needed was a new red light camera. That would totally stop it.
Or at least some sort of law to prevent this that's not actually going to prevent anything.
No, and, you know, the bar was really high there after Scott's call, Sarah, and you did not rise to the occasion, I'm sorry to say. I do appreciate you attempting to draw a connection between, you know, drag shows as in drag queens and drag
racing.
Yeah, I don't
know if that was intentional.
But I think it was because Ian mentioned it last night to her when she was talking about drag shows, and then she did it again here, and she was like, drag shows, whatever. I don't remember exactly what she said, but I think she did it on purpose, but that wasn't good enough, and I wanted a good call, Sarah, to follow up the really good conversation that we had with Scott. So, you suck. Thank you for trying. 603.
You know, I did like Sarah's salt cave conversation on Sunday. We talked about salt rooms, and that was nice. I don't think Captain and Richie Rich appreciated it, but I did.
Okay, well, okay, that's good feedback for you, Sarah. Nikki liked your salt room conversation. 603-283-6160. You can weigh in with whatever you want to talk about, whether it's drag queens or school shootings. Please don't talk about those. I mean, you can if you want. Or the DEA overreach, 603-283-6160.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA! USA News Update. It's been nonstop drum beating since Monday. The White House asking Congress to do something about gun violence.
The White House continuing to call on Congress to pass an assault weapons ban.
Republicans in Congress need to show some courage. And if they had courage, they would be introducing legislation on banning assault weapons today.
She argued that a previous assault weapons ban saved lives when it was in effect for a decade through the 90s and early 2000s. I'm John Schaefer.
Former Vice President Mike Pence is deciding how to respond to a judge's decision to have him testify about January 6th in the Capitol riot in 2021. Speaking to reporters in Iowa, Pence said Wednesday he's heading to D.C. to meet with his attorney to decide how to move forward with an appeal. Pence noted that he has nothing to hide and said he did his duty during the Capitol riot. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, again, the number 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And Stinky.
And I want to say thank you to Marcus Bolt. That is tonight's amplifier. That means that Marcus is a member of the AMPS program. That is our Patreon. You can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. I'm almost positive that I put some almost exclusive content on our Patreon a week or so ago.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I did. I don't remember for sure. Because for those who don't know, I have a very busy schedule working like 70, 75, 80 hours a week. And Wednesday is like the last of two 13-hour days in a row, 14-hour days in a row. So usually by the end of Wednesday, I'm completely tapped out mentally. And this was true last week as well. And I don't remember for sure if I did it. And it's not exclusive now because that same content is now on TikTok, but I tried. And that's the important thing. You can get exclusive content on our Patreon. It's exclusive in the way that video games are exclusive, which means it's for a limited time. You'll get it first. That's what exclusive means in video games now. It's just you'll get it first. Like this Final Fantasy VII was exclusive to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, whichever one it is. And all that meant was everyone else had to wait an additional few weeks to play it. And not the end of the world. And, you know, if you join our AMPS program, you can actually get our podcasts a little bit earlier than... Wait, that's no longer the case. Well, yeah, but you do get a special version of the podcast that no one else can get. But if you join the AMPS program, it shouldn't be for any of these perks, imaginary or temporary or whatever. It should be because you like the show, you value the show, and you want to show your support. The AMPS program is the best way to do that. It only takes $5 per month. That's what Marcus here is doing, and that's all it takes to get you in and show your support. And we love our patrons. So amps.freetalklive.com, or just look up Free Talk Live on Patreon. That's the easiest way of showing your support for the show. And if you like what we're doing, if you value it, check that out. It only costs you $5 a month, you know, a cup of coffee from Starbucks or whatever, and you can show your support for Free Talk Live so we can put debauched-based content like this on the air for people to enjoy. Speaking of, let's keep going to the phones. We have Toby on the line from Nevada. Toby, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's going on, ladies?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm hearing about this and that, you know, and you're kind of kicking the dead horse. I mean, if something bad happens like that, you should, like, say it and then just get it over with. Don't drag it out. I mean,
something bad like the school shooting?
Exactly. You guys been dragging it out for, what, it happened, what, 2 days ago?
So, well, we didn't bring it up tonight. A caller did.
So, and that's the thing, too. Well, people are able to call into the show and talk about whatever they want to talk about, kind of like you're doing. So if you don't want to talk about it, then let's talk about something different.
Yes, exactly. Let's go to the southern border. Hey, I'm down here pretty close to the southern border, and it's a catastrophe, to say the least.
In what way? But, because I've lived in Las Vegas, which wasn't really that close to, like, Mexico, where the southern border crisis is supposedly happening. But, like, I didn't see any border issues as I was coming through Texas or New Mexico. But, of course, I didn't come near the border. But, like, Sheriff Arpaio...
I'm in Laughlin and Bullhead City area. And you can tell, okay? I mean, I grew up in Lake George, New York, you know, and when the Canadians come down in the summertime, you can tell when somebody's out of place because they don't speak the language.
Is that a problem?
You see all these people. No, it's not a problem at all. Well, okay, well, not for me. But I also, okay, the other side of the river from here is Mojave County, Arizona, and they voted like 97% Trump. I mean, that is the most redneck, more gun stores than you can shake a stick at. And they do have a lot of shootings over there, like daily. And if you're out, I mean, I kind of feel bad. If you're out of place and you don't know the language, you know, you shouldn't, like, be there. But it's not their fault because they got... Somebody bust them up here.
I mean, I have a friend who went to Europe recently, and she traveled through Sweden and Denmark and Germany, and she didn't speak any of those languages.
No, I've done a lot of international traveling, mainly so in Spanish-speaking countries. So I know a little bit of Spanish, but not enough to really get along.
So have I, but, yeah, I mean, you're walking through territory right now where everybody is armed. I mean, okay, I live in Jackson, Wyoming now. I'm just coming down here for the winter and doing my cancer treatment, so I'm getting ready to go. I don't really care. But up in Jackson, you know, for instance, when Starbucks came to town, they almost went out of business because they have a weapons policy, and everybody in Wyoming's packing. Everybody.
Sure, we sort of have the same thing here in New Hampshire. I don't think I've never been to our Starbucks. Do they even have a weapons policy?
I don't think so.
No,
it would be silly for them to.
They used to.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, and then they moved out under the cover of darkness for some reason. I don't know. But anyways, they're not making it to where they're supposed to go. They're getting picked up, and there's talk of some tent cities out in the desert, but
it's pretty messed up. I used to watch this series with my ex-wife. I don't remember. It was about people surviving, you know, traumatic experiences or whatever. I don't remember what the hell it was called. And one of the stories was about this normal white dude. He's like a cowboy who lived in Texas or whatever. He got lost out in the woods and he ended up spending like 6 days out there, not in the woods, in the wilderness, in the desert, by himself, wandering around, lost, trying to find his way back. And when he finally stumbled upon someone, he was completely darkened by the sun. He couldn't speak because he was so dehydrated that, and they they assumed that he was a Mexican immigrant who was here illegally, and they abandoned him there. They left him there.
Oh, my gosh.
And if I remember correctly, they were actually friends of his, or his, I don't remember, but they knew him at least. But they didn't recognize him because he had been in the sun for 6 days and, you know, dehydrated and unable to speak. And they just treated a human being like he was beneath dirt and just abandoned him there when he clearly needed help, all because they thought he was Mexican.
Yeah, and some people will, but I tell you, I've done a lot of hitchhiking in this country. I mean, post 9/11, even during COVID, and it's like there's 90% more awesome people still out here than there are jerks. You know, I mean, more people will help you than crap on you.
I tend to think that's true as well. I think a lot more highly of humanity than I should. Someone was on Twitter recently saying that, you know, there were trans people out there saying, like, they were celebrating the deaths that happened in Nashville. I was like,
I doubt that.
That's exactly what I said. I said, show me one trans person out there who's doing this. And this dude came back with two, like, within minutes.
Wow.
He was like, here's screenshots of them right here. And I was like,
that's crazy.
That is absolutely horrific. I believed better of people than that. It's... He was like, yeah, you need to spend some time on trans Reddit. And my response was, I'm not going to spend any time there because they're clearly full of hate, and hate is contagious.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. Oh, totally, yeah. Negative people just kind of suck all the crap out of you. Yeah, it's just, get away from me.
Yeah, but,
I 2 hours a day, Friday, Saturday, I go out on the corner of Arizona 95 and Bullhead City Parkway, and I fly a sign saying, you know, me and my daughter hitchhiking up north, and F Joe Biden. And when I started this like 2 months ago, about every 100 cars, I get probably 10 middle fingers. But now every 100 cars, I get no middle fingers.
Interesting developments. And thank you so much for the call tonight, Toby. It's always good to hear from somebody out there in Nevada. I was just there like a few weeks ago as well. I happened to go to Las Vegas on like the 1 week where it was below 60 every single day.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm kind of over the New Hampshire winter right now because it hasn't been hardcore enough to keep me satisfied. Like, we had a few big snows, but the snow's already gone.
And yeah.
That's unusual for New Hampshire. So it wasn't satisfying my winter-loving needs. I don't think a friend of mine even went skiing this year because there just wasn't enough snow to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people I know that ski and snowboard haven't been able to.
Yeah, it's been very disappointing. So I was looking forward to the spring-like weather of Vegas, and instead I get there, and it was basically just like the New Hampshire winter all over again. And then this week, it's been screwing with me and throwing 60-degree temperatures out there, but it's still strangely cold for some reason.
That's that chill.
Yeah, like, it's 60 degrees out there today, but it's cold, and I don't like it. I want... 60 is warm, and I want it to be warm, and I'm so ready for spring. My dog is ready. That silly little girl, man. I threw a stick into the brook today, and she just jumps right in.
Yeah,
she did
no
this,
fear.
She did this 2 weeks ago, and, like, the water still had ice chunks in it. What? No, it didn't. It didn't have ice chunks in it, but it could have. And it was... I touched it, and it was really, really cold, and she's just happy as could be swimming out there in it. I don't know how she does it. But let's keep going. We have Mickey, who is listening on WGOW in Georgia. Mickey, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, first of all, I want to build on, like, Scott's junk, because I'm also a conservative Christian Republican. And, like, my only question about the whole Governor Bill Lee thing is, like, where does he get off telling me how to raise my kids? I mean,
yeah, the governor you mentioned,
my children to be exposed to weird people or drag queens or drug addicts, who do they get to say that that's not okay because they're my children?
I agree. I just want to be sure the governor, whose name I've already forgotten that you mentioned, that's the governor of Georgia, I'm guessing?
Tennessee.
Okay. Do you have these similar
I'm
laws
so
in Georgia?
North Georgia, honey. I could spit and land in Chattanooga.
Okay. Sure.
So.
But do you have these similar laws in Georgia? I'm just curious.
I honestly don't know. We lost our TV to natural selection about 2 years ago. And
nice.
I basically, my news from y'all and the morning show from the Brad Giza morning show, also on WGOW. Quick shout out.
Now, there are definitely worse things one can do than get rid of their television. So kudos on that. It is frustrating to me to see these things happening from a libertarian perspective, if nothing else, from seeing governments around the United States saying, hey, no, we want to tell you what you can and can't expose your children to. And I don't have children, so I've got no real dog in this fight other than being a transparent. It's like, well, this is completely ridiculous. But I can only imagine how it feels to be a parent having the state just trod all over your parental rights.
Nothing personal, but I'm against trans people in general.
Sure.
I'm a Christian woman. Nothing personal, but I don't believe that my Lord makes mistakes. I'm sorry that you do, and I understand that you're an atheist, so this will mean nothing to you.
I don't take it personally.
I have nothing but love for you and all of your compatriots, but I'm against trans people as a whole.
Sure, I would posit the suggestion that maybe
deciding what I can and can't expose my children to. I mean, everybody needs a little bit of everything so they can decide what they like.
I would suggest that transgender people aren't alleging that God made a mistake, though. And it's just that, you know, being a trans woman is just another aspect of God's creation. It's not a mistake. God didn't accidentally put a man in a woman's body. God would have done that on purpose, by design. That is meant to happen at some point to some people. So I don't think it necessarily would have to be a mistake for a person to be trans.
I'm going to have to pray about that. I mean that, truly.
Awesome. Well, I hope it's a good point. I mean, I hope that you ultimately come to agree.
I have nothing but love and respect for you, Aria, and I would never disname you because I respect you and you honestly represent what you believe. And it has nothing to do with your sexuality. So, sure. I mean, nothing but love for you, truly.
I appreciate that. And I didn't hear any malice or anything in your voice. But I do thank you so much for the call tonight. I mean, it's really good to hear from friendly conservatives, especially of the Christian variety, because I don't have a very good track record, sadly, with Christian conservatives and how they've treated me in the past. Many of them have treated me very, very well. But the ones who treated me badly leave more of a mark on one's memory than the people who treat you kindly. But, you know, for the last decade or whatever, or for the last 6 years since I left the South, every conservative that I've met treated me kindly to some extent, except for the one conservatives, except for conservatives on the internet. But the internet isn't a real place, and this is what I'm continually trying to remind other people. It brings out the worst in people.
Mm-hmm. It gives people that courage to be mean sometimes, you know?
It does, and it makes people act in a way that they would never act in real life. Like this one conservative guy was arguing with me recently in regard to, you know, being trans and being a school shooter, saying, I remember I said something to the effect of not all trans people get upset about pronouns or some are allies or whatever. I don't remember exactly what I said, but the context was, you know, a lot of trans people are libertarians, and that's true.
Yeah.
Almost all of the trans people I know are libertarian to some degree or another. That's not to say that they are part of the Libertarian Party or they're libertarian activists, but almost all of the ones I know support gun rights, support parental freedom.
Yeah, you know what? Me too, yeah.
Yeah. I think I know like three trans people who are hard left.
See, and you know, I didn't know if it was just because of the type of people I tend to surround myself with.
Yeah.
That, you know, I met you on a libertarian radio show, essentially.
Sure.
And then my other friend, I mean, I don't know. So I didn't know if it's just because those are the type of people I'm attracting. So the trans people I know tend to kind of agree with me, but it could be just a coincidence.
I don't know. But I suspect that libertarian ideas are more common in the trans community. Because I know there's a few stereotypes about trans women in particular. Like, we all have a Nintendo Switch. And in my experience, that's been strangely true. Almost every single trans woman I know has a Nintendo Switch. Another one is that we all drive stick shifts. And again, in my experience, that was almost universally true for every trans woman that I've ever met. It's like you transition, okay, here's a Nintendo Switch and here's your stick shift. Have a good life, right? But there's also this sort of trend toward libertarianism among trans people. Anyway, so this guy, he was like, I will never ally with you. I was like, well, you need to be careful because you're being very, very hateful here. And I think you'll find that if you look me up, you'll find that I'm a libertarian. And I'm basically on the same side that you are. He goes, I would ally myself with fascists before I ally with you. It's like,
why though?
Because they're full of hate. You can't reason with people like that. And it's sad that people like that even exist. But does that person really exist? Like, if you put this person in a room with me and a fascist, whose side would they really take?
Probably yours.
I tend to think in the real world, they probably would.
And I tend to think that most people have more in common than they have different.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people will just fixate on one thing, like, oh, well, she's trans, so now I disregard everything she says and I just hate her now. And it just doesn't really make sense.
From any perspective, no. We should treat people as individuals, and this is one of the issues that we kept having with Mark last night, where I kept having with Mark. He wanted to pay lip service to the idea of treating people with individuals and judging them based off their actions or whatever, but at the same time, he would always go back to judging people based on their characteristics. And he wasn't meaning to do this, but the conversation, for those who weren't listening, was about people who are paranoid schizophrenics having the right to bear arms, and I argued that they do have that right. And until they commit some act of violence that proves they shouldn't have that right, then we should respect
that.
Why
are we punishing people before they even commit a crime?
Well, that's exactly it. In his mind, someone who is paranoid schizophrenic is automatically 100% going to commit a crime. The Venn diagram between people who are violent criminals and people who are paranoid schizophrenics, in his mind, from what I could tell last night, was a direct overlap.
Yeah, working in mental health nursing, I know a lot of paranoid schizophrenics, and most of them are not violent.
I suggested to him that there were probably paranoid schizophrenics that we were seeing every single day and that were undiagnosed and that were getting through their lives just fine, but I don't know that because I'm not a health expert.
Or people that are medicated and they're doing very well on their medication.
Also a valid point.
You know?
But it's dangerous when we start saying, oh, okay, well, this person is this mental illness, you can take away their right to bear arms, because the gender identity disorder is classified, at least in the DS-5, which I think is the most recent handbook of this, as a mental illness.
Well, and how about this? Most violent crimes are committed by men, statistically, so how about we just take away the guns from every single man, because the stats say that they are more likely than women to commit a violent crime. That would be absolutely ridiculous. It wouldn't make sense, because we're lumping an entire giant group, giant population of people. It doesn't make sense, because we're all individuals.
I remember being in the first grade in elementary school when someone kept talking. So the teacher decided she was going to punish the entire class by turning off the movie that we were watching and making us sit there with our heads down on the desk.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Teachers, right? They're horrible. I remember this. Here I am.
Yeah. You know,
as an adult, remembering this, because it was such a horrible miscarriage of justice, where you're punishing an entire class of people, 30-something people, for what one person was doing. And I'm sure we all have similar experiences like that, where we remember being punished directly because of something someone else did, and that we knew we didn't do it, and the teacher knew, or the person punishing us knew, they were punishing some number of innocent people, and they just didn't care. And we had Sarah from New Mexico call a few weeks ago, and she basically said she was arguing in favor of restoring the death penalty. And we pointed out to her that plenty of people who are in jail are innocent. And things like, I can't remember, the Innocence Project have gone to reveal that a lot of these people who were on death row or whatever were innocent. So if we allow the state to kill people, some percentage of the people the government kills will be innocent.
And to me, if even one person is murdered and they're innocent, that is too many.
Exactly.
So to me, like, that's just not worth it at all. You know, I'd rather, if there's even that possibility of making that mistake, then we can't do it.
I agree entirely. But Sarah does not. She fully accepts the possibility of someone innocent being killed, and she's okay with that.
I don't even know if I want to murder guilty people.
That's a fair point.
There's
as well. Well, she certainly does, and she doesn't mind if we have to kill some innocent people in order to occasionally get the guilty ones. And I can't imagine being so immoral that you're okay with punishing a bunch of innocent people in the off chance that you might also kill a guilty person or punish a guilty person. It's absolutely crazy. But let's go to the phones. We have, welcome to the show. What's your name? I hit the wrong button. Hey, caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, it's Minor Rick.
Minor, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, now you were talking about your dog and the ice, and it reminded it reminded me of a thing that just happened on it, like a first date. Meet this girl, I bring my Shih Tzu, she brings her dog. My dog goes running right off this ice cliff into the lake.
Oh, goodness.
So I go running up. I come skidding to a stop because I see it's like a 6-foot drop that's like concave, like not even like straight down. And I'm like, oh, man, what do I do? She goes flying by me, dives right into the water, grabs my dog. And now I'm like, now what do I do? So I take my belt off, throw my belt down. And she's a tiny little thing, and was able to, like, climb up and, like, get up over the cliff back onto the land with my dog. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, yeah, I kind of didn't even like this chick at the beginning of the date. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Oh, no. But that's a good way to make that's, like, a great first impression kind of, you know what I mean? I guess it's not technically a first impression, but... I mean, it definitely shows her colors and what kind of person she is.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for the call tonight. That is absolutely amazing. I remember when I took my dog to Robin Hood Park at the end of last winter when there was still some ice on there, and she's a smart dog. She's a golden retriever. She's not stupid. She knew how far she could go out onto the ice, but I had busybodies constantly coming up to me saying, you shouldn't allow your dog to do that. I'm like, we're fine. Mind your own business. Yeah. I'm going to call the police and make sure you stop doing
that.
Just all sorts of other Karen nonsense like that. And it's, if she had fallen through the ice, I have no doubt I would have gone in after her.
Yeah.
And I would have probably died too, but like that's just what I would have done because this animal was trusting my judgment to allow her to play there in the first place, and she is likely to make a mistake, but I knew that, and I was therefore not throwing the ball that she was catching too far out onto the ice because I'm not an idiot either.
Mm-hmm.
And on the occasions where she was also swimming in the same water in other places because, like I said, it was the end of winter, and there was water showing through on the other side of the pond that got way more sunlight, and she was swimming in there just fine because even back then, there's literal ice in the water. She's just swimming because...
Oh, yeah, they don't care.
I don't know how they don't care, though, but thank you so much for the story. I'm
Wim
glad
Hof
it
dog.
Ended well.
Do you know Wim Hof?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I wish I had her strengthened with the cold because, like, she'll be playing out there in the snow and just getting snowed on and having a great ball. And I'm turning translucent and freezing to death. She's like, why are you blue? Let's have fun. I'm like, I'm going inside. But she's a good dog. Well, we're out of time for tonight. You can join us on our social media server. I'll probably post some pictures of my dog on there at some point. I'm sure they're there already. That's social.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.